Chapter 14. Ellie. March 21st, 2019. Davis, California. The hotel on the website had looked decent enough. Only 3 stars, but simple, modern decor. Okay, the room had appeared a little bland, but as Ellie told herself while she signed into PayPal for the booking, they weren't going to be there for the decor. They both knew the purpose was something else entirely. It had been a last-minute thing after the clinic had rang to say the cancellation list had moved in Luca's favor, and could he come to the Mind Institute for an overnight EEG in 3 days' time? Sure, Ellie had answered. For Luca, she would make anything work. That left her at a loose end for a whole night in Davis, a whole night in the same town as sexy Dr. Sam Varma, with whom so far she'd miraculously squeezed in a tingling coffee date, and he had graciously met her in Berkeley, and a tantalizing 2-hour phone conversation after she'd put the boys to bed one night. She'd texted him to set it up, not quite brave enough to call, and at the same time exhilarated and utterly alive. She even bought new lingerie at the Victoria's Secret at 4 Embarcadero Center during a lunch break from the ILDC and added massage oil, a feather, and chocolate. She had no idea what Sam liked, but she really wanted to find out. Sam had offered to host at his place, but Ellie wasn't sure she was ready for that step, figuring a neutral location might put her more at ease. What if it all went wrong, and then she was stuck there all night until time to pick up Luca? As soon as she pulled up to the hotel in the Odyssey, she got a sinking feeling. The parking lot was half empty, garbage and discarded takeaway cartons gathered at the curb. The hotel was situated right beside a row of rundown shops. Decidedly unromantic. Inside, the picture didn't get much better, causing Ellie to wonder how long ago the website photos had been taken. The place felt worn, the modern decor looking cheap and pursing. The receptionist, a Latino man with his shirt open down to his stained polyester vest, barely spoke to her as he processed her booking and handed over her key card. As she stepped over the worn carpet in the corridor, noticing burn marks and fraying and a distinct smell of something wet dog, Ellie wrinkled her nose. She had got there an hour early than their arranged meeting time so she could properly prepare herself. Now her enthusiasm waned and she felt more embarrassed than inspired. Reaching her room, a young woman overtook her in the corridor with a much older man, 3 times her girth. Ellie watched the girl walk past in her miniskirt and bralette, the man holding onto her tight like a prized possession. She had seen the girl in the shabby lobby and thought she looked quite lost, her features tied to Ellie's learned eye. It was still early in the day. The whole situation was off, and Ellie's heart sank. In the room, she peeled the hotel comforter off the bed and gingerly picked up the throws to stash them in a chipped, empty cupboard. She had planned on ordering up champagne to chill, but now she wasn't so sure. In her bag, she brought strawberries and the chocolate, her new lingerie, and her little surprises. She had wanted this to be memorable, but it was shaping up to be memorable for all the wrong reasons. Somewhere in the distance, a vacuum whirred. Outside the window, their room looked onto the highway, and the window shook slightly every time a big rig passed. A sharp knock rapped at the door, and Ellie caught her breath. Who is that? She peered out to see Sam, holding a rose between his teeth, laughing. Sam, she cried, and burst out giggling, too. You're early. So much for being draped across the bed, all sexy. So far, nothing had gone as planned. My last patient canceled. Never happens. Crazy, huh? This is for you. He handed her the rose in its cellophane wrapper. Ellie looked at it, a bead of spit on the surface, her expression blank. Are you okay? Asked Dr. Sam. Yeah, sure. Come in. Make yourself comfortable. I was thinking of ordering up champagne or... I don't drink, said Sam. Of course. He had told her that before. How could she have forgotten? But Ellie had probably been thinking of herself or her own nerves. The vacuuming stopped. Sam sat on the bed. Ellie sat beside him. This isn't as nice as I was expecting, she said sheepishly. It's fine, he reassured her, tucking a loose section of her hair behind her ear. Ellie got a whiff of wet dog again. Where was it coming from? I'm not sure I want to order anything up from room service. Do they even have room service? Sam chuckled. Oh, God, said Ellie. She gripped his thigh. Sam leaned in and kissed her. It's horrible, she said, now covering her face with her hands. She had really fumbled this. Well, the offer stands to go to my place if you like, he said, pulling her up with both her hands in his. It's no palace hotel, but it has its charms. Ellie stared into his eyes, wondering if she was crazy to be moving so fast. They had both been under restraints, always pressed for time to properly get to know each other, and yet she couldn't wait for his hands on her. Nearby, the sound of a man grunting filled their ears. Ellie thought of the large man she'd seen lumbering down the corridor with the girl in the miniskirt, and she winced. She and Sam both laughed. Let's go, she said, grabbing her unpacked bag. I've seen all I need to see here. Ellie wasn't quite sure what to expect from Sam's home, but it was much more stylish and cozy than whatever she might have given him credit for. She felt guilty for doubting that he might live in anything other than an antiseptic cookie-cutter condo. The condo was spacious and airy, with a soft L-shaped couch, a gas fireplace, family pictures on the walls, colored throws and rugs, and a pretty balcony sporting two green potted plants. He even had candles set in black glass. Ellie suspected if Sam lit them later, she'd smell manly scents like sandalwood and leather. The place was spotlessly clean and uncluttered. I have a cleaning lady, confessed Sam with a shrug of his shoulders as he welcomed her in. I'm so glad she came yesterday. And there was me thinking you lived like this all the time, joked Ellie. I do, he protested. Well, it's a damn sight nicer than that sketchy hotel, sighed Ellie. I'm so sorry about that. No apologies allowed. You don't need to try, Ellie. Just be, smiled Sam, a glint in his eye, and they lingered on each other for a moment. Ellie wondering what exactly that thought was. Was it the thought of each other skin to skin? The thought of each other in bed, pressed, sweaty, hot, together? Or the thought that she was, as Annika had put it, undersexed and had only one thing on her mind? What would you like to drink? Sam offered. Sparkling water. Or a do a mean mocktail? Ooh, flex your mocktail mixology skills, doctor, cooed Ellie. While Sam went to the open-plan kitchen, Ellie wandered his living room, studying the photographs. Sam hit a remote control, and the sound of Charlie Parker's A Night in Tunisia jauntily filled the space in surround sound. Ellie stared at a family portrait on the wall. There was Sam, younger, what seemed to be his father and mother, and three other women in the photograph. Are they your sisters? She asked. Uh-huh, said Sam. Golden boy, huh? You better believe it. Are you telling me you're spoiled? Whipped Ellie. I'm telling you I have a mother who adores me and three sisters who carried me around like a doll. I know women. I'll say, laughed Ellie, her heart skipping to be the subject of his deep knowledge of women. Another photo showed a young boy, Sam, dressed in a long pleated cloth wrapped around his waist and legs, a fitted shirt, and another long cloth draped over one shoulder. The outfit, with its elegant lines and simple jewelry, reminded Ellie of something dignified for some ceremonial event. Look at you, smiled Ellie. Cutie. That cutie is a dance champion, said Sam, as he squeezed a fresh lime into two tall glasses. Bharatanatyam, and I'm not sure I'm saying that right. One of the oldest classical dance forms in India, with roots tracing back to Tamil Nadu, traditionally performed by women. I was the only boy. Oh my, marveled Ellie. Was it getting hot in here? She needed that drink to cool her down. She'd always thought the doctor had a particular poise about him, a type of quiet athleticism, elegant posture, and graceful carriage. He was a classical dancer. Tell me what it's like in Chennai, said Ellie, taking a seat and waiting for her drink and thinking of the diverse city Sam had told her about in Southeast India. Very different to here, said Dr. Varma as he pressed the glass rims into crushed rock salt. Ellie couldn't help but be impressed with his efforts. It's quite a big national city. You get people coming from all over India to stay there, as it has a really good medical centers and hospitals. That's where I trained. I miss the food. Isn't that what all immigrants say? But truly, I do. The food is very good there. Do you ever regret leaving? It was such a direct question. Ellie hadn't meant it to sound so probing. Sorry, I didn't mean... No, said Sam, shaking his head. It's totally fine. No, I don't. I wanted some adventure, you know, something different and exciting. My parents, of course, my mom especially, was devastated when I left, but I just had this calling to go see the world. And I always wanted to see America. I loved Michael Jackson growing up. As a dancer, I thought, wow, I want what he has. Even though it was totally different to what I knew, I was just so attracted to all that. And of course, I always liked beautiful American women, too. He winked at Ellie. Ellie giggled. He made her feel irresistible. What was it with this man who seemed to look through every part of her, her intelligence and burning, even childlike, relentless curiosity? She felt as though she could lay bare her fortitude, her untamed, opposing, vulnerable, and incongruent parts that she must hide from the outside world. She felt like Dr. Varma wanted and needed those, that he could epoxy those parts together. She had never felt like this with anyone, not even with Joe. "American-Italian," laughed Ellie. "I love that," grinned Sam. "I would love to visit Italy. Tanai is a coastal city, so when the position came up here and I could see it wasn't too far from the coast, I knew I'd be happy here. I like getting to San Francisco when I can." Sam presented her with the iced, rock-salted cocktail glass, and Ellie reached up for it, wondering if his comment about San Francisco was a request to visit her, to see her home turf. Ellie thought about hosting the poised doctor in her flat, showing him her beloved Coit Tower with its murals. Would he love it too? Would he fit there? It was hard for her to imagine him in her environment when she was so enjoying being in his. They sat over drinks for an hour, which were delicious and sour and electrified Ellie's insides. They talked about their families and Teddy, friends and careers, about music, world events, and a documentary on Steinway pianos that Ellie had just streamed. All the while, Sam never took his eyes off of her, as if he couldn't get enough of her. It was she who made the move, she who could not hold his gaze for a second longer, needing him to feel him, to touch him, to taste him. He jumped when she lunged at him, grinning before leaning in to meet her, wrapping his strong, impenetrable arms around her. For the 100th time since she'd crossed Sam Varma's threshold, Ellie thanked her lucky stars they left that tacky hotel behind. Here was much better. Here for their first time, in Sam's stylish, welcoming, masculine-smelling condo was perfect. They tumbled out of bed later that evening, ravenous. Ellie suggested takeout, but Sam waggled his finger, insisting on cooking. "I want to give you a taste from home," he smiled. "Well, I think I already got a little of that," she murmured, and his smile grew, his eyes piercing her very soul. Her delicate new lingerie having been hungrily peeled off her, she now lounged in Sam's shirt with the sleeves rolled. It smelled of him and swallowed her body at half his size, while once again a now shirtless Sam got to work in the kitchen. She loved to watch his capable hands, and oh, how capable she now knew they were. Over the past 2 hours, Ellie had felt as though Sam had glimpsed a flickering behind her eyes, spied a yearning for release, and managed to completely and wholly embrace her multitudes. She had felt both protected and wanted, wild and free, a part of her unleashed that had been caged for so long. He had been confidently kind in bed, patient and masculine and intoxicatingly strong. And she had loved every second of him. He had a magnetic field around him, forcing her into a savage surrender. She felt as though she had crossed to a sacred kingdom that Sam had cultivated just for her, where all the lakes had been waiting for her reflection, the roads anticipating her footfall, the breeze preparing to carry the prosody of her voice, the flora awaiting her gaze. Within the walls of that kingdom, she had become a quiet, slightly trembling ingenue, the anticipation of his control exhilarating. The 21st century alpha female sequestered, she could let go. She lay back on the sofa, listening contentedly to the sounds of Sam chopping, fast like a chef, the refrigerator and cupboards opening and closing as he toiled in the kitchen. She closed her eyes to Nina Simone's woeful Ne me quitte pas flowing from the speakers, and opened them again to find Sam presenting her with another mocktail, delivered with a full, wet kiss to the mouth. Ellie placed her free hand on Sam's chest. "This song just wrecks me. Do you know what she's saying?" "I don't, actually. I don't speak French," admitted Sam. "Well, I do. She's begging her lover not to leave her. It's heartbreaking." "Then I guess he'd better stick around. Problem solved," Sam said, and placed another gentle kiss on her pillowy lips. She felt in a dreamy state, floating in and out of consciousness, totally at one with her body, a state which could only be declared as bliss, like she was a full woman. After they ate dinner, a delicious parade of flavors and spices, Sam took a cool, moist cake from the fridge. "I have a sweet tooth," he shrugged, owning his sins. He ordered her to close her eyes. She complied. She would do anything he said. He then fed her pieces of the cake with his fingers, talking to her in his low, calm, thrumming voice, before instructing her to "look at me, Ellie," while tracing his fingers along her mouth, his thumb voraciously exploring her pouty, plump bottom lip, and then leaning in with his own mouth to delicately clean the frosting caught in the corner of hers. She felt her eyes silently imploring him to fully take her again, to own her, and yet he held off, making her wait, making her suffer for more of him, keeping her in full, high, craven alert. He cradled the side of her head and chin deftly, accomplished with one graceful sweep of his large, strong, capable hands, and kissed her like it was the first time, the last time, and the only time. He had ownership of her. She was his my, and they both understood his power was by virtue of her granting it. She felt animal-like, his prey, he playing with her, the dominant lion pawing at his submissive cub, because he could. Even if she wanted to, she'd be unable to get away. There was no need to flee. Anything detrimental to Ellie's sense of wholeness and peace would have to get past him first, and Sam would simply not permit it. "I've got you, my Ellie," Sam whispered, a warm campfire in her ear, as he finally moved into her, and she felt what must have been measurable amperage course through her. Victorious in war, that's what the name Samarjeet meant in Hindu. Ellie had Googled his name after their first date, wanting to learn more, to understand this man, to know and feel and love everything about him. Varma, derived from Sanskrit, meant shield, protection. The Varmas now tended to work in the fields of medicine, engineering, science, and philanthropy. As Sam kissed her breasts, taking both in his powerful, precise, surgical hands, the words of Master Oogway of Kung Fu Panda, which Nathan watched obsessively, echoed in Ellie's head. "There are no accidents in this world." She was ready to be shielded. She was ready to be possessed completely by Samarjeet Varma, victorious, his conquered prize in war. "Take me," she pleaded in a husky whisper, to which, to her pleasure, Sam obligingly and immediately did.